This is What Does It Profit? And I'm your host, Dr. Dawn Carpenter. We've made it. Here we are at the final episode of season 3. No better way to go out than swinging. Swinging for the fences and cruising a home run. All right, well, maybe a little hyperbole, but the truth is, it's baseball season and we're excited. In today's episode, we're going to take a glimpse behind the scenes for a little inside baseball. We're going to tell the amazing story of the 17 days or so that it took to get a union contract for thousands of minor league baseball players who worked for years for less than minimum wage. If any of our listeners know anything about baseball or anything about union organizing, you'll know that all of this is nothing short of a miracle. For this story, let's head out to the ballpark. Major League Baseball makes millions of dollars on minor league players. And until recently, owners refused to pay them minimum wage.
Immediately when I got into minor league baseball, it just seemed like things weren't quite right.
Garrett Brushhouse was a minor league pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, playing for peanuts while pursuing his dream of reaching the majors. Before he joined the Giants, he had played baseball at the University of Missouri. He says in some ways, going to the minors was a step down from college ball.
I didn't have a lavish life, but I had a normal college apartment. When we went on the road, we ate well, and I got about $35 in meal money a day.
Under the stadium lights, Garrett entertained thousands of fans. But when he went home to the apartment he shared with other players, reality hit.
Here I am going and playing in front of 5,000 fans every day. Kids asking for my autograph, and yet I'm eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day before the game and then going and sleeping on a futon each night.
The Giants, like other minor league teams, didn't pay their players during the offseason, so Garrett worked a handful of jobs to help cover the bills. This went on for 6 seasons. When he realized he wasn't going to make the majors, Garrett made the unorthodox career transition from professional baseball player to lawyer.
I picked up a LSAT study guide at a Borders and started studying for the LSAT on bus rides. A lot of times I would wait to study until the movie we were watching was over. And a lot of people thought it was crazy. I'm cracking out this big old LSAT study guide on a bus ride. And then I took the LSAT 3 days after my last road trip in minor league baseball when I got back home.
After the 2009 season, Garrett stepped off the mound for good. He's now an attorney in St. Louis. But this former minor leaguer would end up having a major role in reforming the sport.
Most minor league baseball players were making less than $10,000 for an entire year of work. Minor league baseball players have for years been among the lowest paid workers in the entire country. So we would talk about these things during batting practice, but what do you do about them? Everybody's trying to make it to the major leagues. Nobody wants to upset the status quo and jeopardize their career in some way. There's a lot of fear of reprisal, and that's a legitimate fear.
For Garrett, the only way to overcome that fear was for minor league baseball to unionize. Garrett got his first big break a year out of law school. One of his first cases was the 2014 class action lawsuit against Major League Baseball.
First lawsuit of its kind ever. No professional athlete had ever challenged the application of minimum wage laws to the work that they were doing, much less a minor league baseball player. No professional athlete had ever done it, period. And of course, no minor league baseball player had ever brought a class action against Major League Baseball. But we did it. And I think a lot of people in the industry didn't give us much chance of success.
The lawsuit claimed that Major League Baseball paid minor leaguers less than the federal minimum wage and didn't compensate them for overtime. For many years, minor league players were exempted from federal labor protections because Major League Baseball officials considered their work to be seasonal and not an actual career. Let's be clear, playing in the minor leagues is a year-round commitment, and Major League Baseball isn't broke. They bring in billions of dollars in revenue each year. The lawsuit attracted media attention, including a 2016 article in the Washington Post.
my wife and I were reading the paper, and she finished reading the sports section first, handed me the section, and said, Bill, these folks need a union.
That's Bill Fletcher Jr. He's a former miner, a little league player, and a baseball fan.
When my wife gives me the orders, I know when to follow.
Bill contacted Garrett, who was mentioned in the article, and they started talking about how to unionize minor league players. At the time, Bill says they began discussions quietly with the Major League Baseball Players Association, which has represented Major League Baseball players for decades. The organization didn't want to invite minor leaguers into their union just yet. So Bill says they reached out to other unions, but nothing came from those discussions. Bill and Garrett agreed that their union efforts wouldn't succeed without the support of the Major League Baseball Players Association. So they developed a strategy that they hoped would persuade the organization. They tested the organizing waters by helping minor leaguers apply for unemployment during the COVID-19 pandemic, when Major League Baseball dropped 42 teams. Then, in 2020, while Major League Baseball prepared to play ball, the minor league season was canceled.
For the first time in the history of minor league baseball, an entire season has been canceled.
Thousands of minor league players were out of work and out of money. Harry Marino, a former minor leaguer who understood the players' cause, says this provided an incentive for players to fight back.
The lack of power that players had felt during the pandemic, players were more willing to speak up and speak out than they had been, certainly when I had played, you know, back in 2012, 13, 14. The injustice and the feeling that it was wrong was definitely present then. But I don't know that a lot of players would have talked to an outside, you know, person like Garrett or myself at length about the situation back, you know, when I was a player.
Harry pitched for the Arizona Diamondbacks for 3 seasons before he took a bow to go to law school. After graduating from the University of Virginia, he spent a year working for the D.C. law firm Williams & Connolly before quitting to lead the union efforts. Garrett and Bill co-founded Advocates for Minor Leaguers in 2020 on a shoestring budget. They recruited current and former players to join the board. Garrett says the organization's goal wasn't to unionize minor leaguers. Instead,
it was to start organizing with a little O, just to get players to realize that this was a movement that they could join, that they could start expressing their grievances in a collective manner through this nonprofit and get stories out there and hopefully affect change that way.
The Major League Baseball Players Association took notice of their work and provided them with funding. This money, along with a grant from the Ford Foundation, allowed them to hire Harry as the organization's first full-time executive director. It didn't take much to convince Harry to leave his law firm salary and go to work for the nonprofit. He had talked to Garrett before when he was still in law school and had been following the case. But when he read an ESPN article about the formation of Advocates for Minor Leaguers, he says he knew he had to drop everything and help.
It was clear to me that there was something happening there that I wanted to be a part of. And I think that in the thousands of conversations that I've had with folks since then about this issue, that's the same mentality, the same sort of feeling that all of these folks have had, right? Whether it's players, whether it's outside supporters, fans. The idea of this is happening and I want to be a part of it.
Throughout 2021, Advocates for Minor Leaguers recruited, all remotely, more than 1,000 players to support the cause. Some major leaguers even expressed solidarity by wearing the organization's wristband. Here's Harry.
A lot of our focus was on just raising awareness more generally in the baseball world about the injustice. You know, at the end of 2021, we took a leap and had a group of players wear wristbands on the field that said Advocates for Minor Leaguers on one side and Fair Ball on the other side. And they put out a statement, you know, basically demanding better treatment. And it was really cool because it was, you know, players on both sides, you know, both teams there that day, you know, American players, Latin players, old guys, younger guys, you know, high draft picks, free agent signs, right? And I think seeing all those guys out on the field wearing the wristbands and putting out a statement, it was clear that we could actually get this done eventually.
It was clear the solidarity was there, and the players were willing to take a risk, but no one knew how quickly minor leaguers could organize. Then Major League Baseball announced it would provide free housing to most minor league players. This was a huge victory, and Harry says it showed progress was possible if players spoke out and worked together.
We were confident that if we got up every day, worked really hard, worked together, got more and more folks involved, that we ultimately would make a very untenable, unfair situation better than it was before. And for me, that was always the motivating factor.
The unionization efforts were given a further boost when Major League Baseball agreed to pay $185 million to settle a class action lawsuit brought by thousands of current and former minor league players. The lawsuit, spearheaded by Garrett, had been winding its way through the courts since 2014. Major League Baseball was supposed to be allocating money this year, but an appeal has still stalled the payment. In many cases, minor league teams are independently owned, but the players are employed by Major League Baseball through affiliation contracts. This means the player's salary and all of the associated costs with running the team are split. The team's owners covers the expenses for ballparks, equipment, travel, and hotels when teams are on the road. And then Major League Baseball is responsible for the players' pay, healthcare, and pensions. Minor League Baseball has existed for nearly a century to feed Major League Baseball its future star players. The idea of reaching the majors tethers minor league players to a system that, quite frankly, most people wouldn't put up with. All for the small chance of making millions and getting your face on a Wheaties box. Minor league players had to suffer through some tough conditions and keep their mouths shut. Minor league players are usually drafted out of high school or college. Up until recently, they didn't have the same labor protections as Major League Baseball players. This was made evident in 2018 when Major League Baseball lobbied the federal government to restrict minor league wages. Here's Garrett.
It was such a slap in the face for every minor league baseball player out there to tell them that their work isn't even worth the minimum wage, the bare minimum that every other worker gets in the country, be it a McDonald's worker or a Starbucks worker, you know, or the people, the teenagers selling hot dogs at the ballpark. They weren't worth that.
A union for minor league players was considered by many to be a pipe dream until 2022, when the Major League Baseball Players Association voluntarily recognized the minor league players' efforts to unionize. Mission accomplished for advocates for minor leaguers. The organization dissolved the day the union cards were issued. Harry says he'll never forget sitting in the Major League Baseball Players Association conference room with his laptop and...
Every time somebody signed a union card, it would ding because we had like an email address set up where they would come into. And it was just like ding, 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 ding for like a day straight. And we were literally all just sitting around the table staring at each other like, wow, this is actually happening.
In March, Major League Baseball owners ratified the first ever collective bargaining agreement in minor league baseball history in a 30-0 vote. The deal provides salary increases to minor league players, who will also receive retroactive pay for 4 weeks of this year's spring training. Bill says it was a landmark moment in sports history.
I can say with great pride, throwing all modesty to the side, that we kicked ass. We did it. And it was the combination of the team that we assembled in Advocates for Minor Leaguers, without whom this could not have happened, It was the players, minor league and major league players, that stepped forward, that were willing to do things like, things that may not seem very significant, but wear wristbands on some of the issues, right? Knowing full well that there could be retaliation, and they were willing to do it.
In the end, solidarity won all the way around, the bases. Let's face it, before their union contract, minor league baseball players had poor working conditions, which included long hours, low pay, lack of benefits, and no job security. Many players were forced to live in cramped and unsanitary conditions, making it difficult for them to focus on their careers. The major league players, who are part of a more established union, started to advocate for better working conditions, fair wages, and better benefits for their minor league counterparts. Let's get real. Major league players understand that the health and well-being of up-and-coming players are paramount to the game's future. This is solidarity. In the end, we know that treating employees well is good for business. It promotes loyalty, job satisfaction, and increased productivity. When employees feel valued and respected, they are happier and more motivated to work hard, leading to better outcomes and a better reputation for the company. In the case of minor league baseball, treating players with respect and compensating them fairly will help attract talented young athletes, leading to a stronger future for Major League Baseball as a whole. Not to mention the good example that it sets for the Little Leaguers. That's it. Let's play ball. We've reached the end of our third season. We hope you've learned that change can be done right where you are. We also hope you've enjoyed our new format. We welcome your feedback. Reach out to us at producer@whatdoesitprofitpodcast.com or send us feedback on whatever app you hear the show. Next up on What Does It Profit, we're going to summer school. Over the course of the summer, we'll be releasing mini episodes that will help listeners understand some of the key concepts in our work and get a glimpse of the research and theory incorporated in the show. Season 4, which will launch this fall, will be all about the impact of artificial intelligence in the world of work and wealth. As we let you go, don't forget to ask yourself, in the work that you do, in the things you buy, and the investments that you make, what does it profit? What Does It Profit is a production of the Solidarity Economy Workshop at Georgetown University. The show is hosted by me, Dr. Dawn Carpenter. Jordan Gosperé is our senior producer. Our engineer and designer is Mark Bush. Thanks to our Season 3 researchers and assistant producers, Sophia Chen, Hannah Woodford, and Andy Fang. And special thanks to our guest researcher, Jim Humphreys, who knows more about baseball than all of us. Music for What Does It Profit was composed by Nick Pennington. Support for What Does It Profit is provided by the Kalmanovitz Initiative for Labor and the Working Poor, the McDonough School of Business, and the Capital Applied Learning Lab at Georgetown University. You can learn more at whatdoesitprofitpodcast.com.